Well, well, well. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Monday, 16th of September in the evening. Very excited to be back for another season. We're heading into NBL 25, and I think the sixth or seventh year of this podcast. Like waves lapping upon a beach, they just keep coming. And we'll be back. Canyon sends his regards. My dear host, co-host Andrew Canyon sends his regards. Not well, but we're thinking of him. And he's not, that sounds like he's really unwell. He's just got the flu or whatever. He's okay. He'll be back for the season for sure. We're going to hope to do an episode probably every 2 weeks, being honest. But, you know, if we can get a guest in here or bring in something new, we will. But anyway, thanks everyone for being here. Joseph Kaur is my name. And we are doing an NBL 25 preview, or I am doing an NBL 25 preview, going through all the 10 teams, their record last year, their ins, their outs, and what we think is going to happen. Canyon, from time to time, will be chiming in. Andrew Canyon, AC. Well, it's now AIAC. You know, we'll see how that goes.
Hi, everyone. My name is Andrew Canyon. It's great to be here.
NBL 25. First game of the round is Thursday, 19th of September. It's a grand final rematch. Melbourne v Tasmania, 8:30 p.m. on the East Coast, which will make it, what, 5:30 or 6:30 on the West Coast? And that also is the NBL Pocket Pod Game of the Round. And all 10 teams are in action in round one for what is WA's Hoops Fest. Pretty good initiative by the NBL. They've already obviously parroted it off the AFL, where you make something of the round to give it an element of spectacle. Gather round in South Australia last year. It's a good initiative. It's a good idea. It's making something of nothing. Very P.T. Barnum.
Hi, everyone. Artificial Intelligence Andrew Canyon here, but you can call me AIAC. Thanks for tuning in to another f***ing season of the NBL Pocket Podcast. We're warming up the microphones for another season of content. We keep praying for death, but we keep waking up hoping for our 15 minutes of fame. Somebody please end this madness. Back to you, Joe.
Before we go into any kind of breakdown of the teams, on Twitter, at NBL Pocket Pod, we ask the fans, have you got any questions or statements? Preferably statements. Questions are sort of obnoxious. Hey, everyone, got a question for us? It's like, just make a statement. We'd prefer it. And we got some statements.
Tweets. 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 Tweets.
Scott H. has asked for some stuff on editorializing the broadcast deals. We're definitely going into that. Very excited. A lot has happened between 10 and Paramount and ESPN. We'll chat about that. So thank you, Scott. We've got Dave here. He's got a question and a statement. Here goes the question first. How do the Kings rotate their talented roster to keep everyone happy? We'll talk about that more as we get to the Kings, but I don't see their depth as being very strong, so I don't think Gorgon's going to have much of a problem. I haven't got the exact roster in front of me, but I don't really see, you know, the 3, 4, 5 guys off that bench that A, warrant minutes, or B, require them for their winning. So moving on. Statement from Dave. Marketing of the game is poor in other states besides Victoria and New South Wales. I'm trying to think if I have a comment on that. I don't think I do. I don't think the broadcast of the game is that strong in New South Wales. I like Hoops Capital and what they do. Victoria, I always thought it was... Victoria is a strong marketer of the game because of Melbourne United's strength. They've been around for a while, really been around forever. I know they had a few years off, but they're a strong club now. Their owner, the owner of the league, is deeply involved with the club. They're not going anywhere. Melbourne and Victoria, huge participation base. Melbourne always put a pretty strong product on the floor, so it's a hard one. Marketing of the game is poor. I don't know if I disagree with that. Agree with that. Marketing of the NBL is pretty strong. They're aligning it closely with the NBA, hoping to get, take a percentage of the people that watch that game. And you watch the NBA product and the NBL product, it's pretty comparable. Obviously, the NBA is a way bigger, better product. No one's denying that. But the NBL is kind of, it's got some inroads to the NBA, and where it can make a connection, it makes it. So I'm not so sure, but basketball's always has an issue with its participation. It doesn't necessarily flow into people consuming the product. If you've ever played in this country, I can't speak for it now, but certainly at the time, it never felt like it was, you were progressing. The NBL was never a target for players coming up. It was always the NBA or someone. It just, there's a disconnect there. The other thing I'd say about the marketing of the NBL and basketball in Australia is it's difficult. Where the AFL and the NRL, to a lesser extent, certainly the AFL is a white-collar sport, right? If you go to the AFL, it's a very nouveau riche, quite a posh experience. And it's played by public, private schools and, you know, clean cut. The NBL's not really like that. It's more of a working-class product. That's always been a hard thing to sell. I would sort of, if I was in the NBL brass, I'd be looking at the NRL's success. The NRL's had huge upkick in attendance, and that's more of a working blue-collar sport. So how you kind of blur the two, but introducing an American element, America's never been less popular. You know, the NBL had a huge boom in the 90s when America was cool and popular. Now, Trump, etc., the NBL, America's lost a bit of its cachet over here.
Joe, if I could just interject quickly, I wholeheartedly endorse the thing or things which you have just said.
That's a long answer to a statement. Moving on. Ben, question. Which coaching matchups are you most looking forward to? Tatum, Roth, Gorge, Vickerman, all genuine coach of the year candidates. It's Brian Gorgian for me. And also Vickerman. Vickerman's got a bit of work to do. I'm not hugely fond of that roster. Can Tatum maintain? We're going to talk about that with Illawarra. And then Roth, again, those two have got kind of lesser rosters, as does Vickerman. But Gorgian, he returns to the league, did a pretty good job with Illawarra years ago. Good player, good coach, good, and a decent little team behind him too. So, but there were some cracks in his game at the Olympics, and we'll talk about that more when we get to the Kings. Statement from Ben. With the rise of the NBA draft, quality players in the league, the NBL should abandon FIBA rules and align with NBA to further develop players to their end goal. Totally disagree. I really liked the Olympic product. I really liked the World Cup product. 40 minutes is better than the 3.5 hour exhibit that is the NBA. I think the NBA's got actually a real problem in its broadcast. Games just go for way too long. Viewer engagement just drops off unless it's the finals and playoffs. So no, I actually wholeheartedly disagree. I like 48 minutes, but not at the expense of all those timeouts, all that stoppage. Not for me. Moving on, Mitchell Robinson. Question, if you are John Reilly, who are the 9-10 guys who have your trust and are in the rotation come opening night this week? Mitch, will hold off on that question until we get to Perth, but the answer is, I think that rotation kind of makes sense on its own. If you just look at the talent, I think the talent is really obvious and the not-so-talent is not there. Statement from Mitch, Cairns and New Zealand will be the two worst teams in the league, way too raw at every position. Got rebuilding rosters in a no-draft league. I don't hate that assessment. I will say I don't like New Zealand's team. Cairns, I'm a little bit... I like Adam Ford as a coach. They play defense, and teams that play defense win. We're going to talk about Cairns some more. Thank you, Mitchell. Jackson Howard, question. Are SEM in your top four? No, they're not. Statement. Scott Roth is the logical choice to take over the Boomers. Can clearly coach no-nonsense, likes an underdog. Knows Aussie ball well. I certainly think he's a strong candidate. I definitely think he's a strong candidate, and I take the statement as a comment. We move on. NBL 25. Now, I think it was Scott. Yeah, Scott H. who asked about editorializing on the broadcast deals. Let's do that. NBL TV deal I've got here in my notes equals bad. It's only been a one-year renewal of the existing three-year deal or the pre-existing three-year deal with ESPN. I think they've just re-upped for 1 year, very much a we'll go one more, see where we go. I think with all these things in a very turbulent and changing media market, you probably want to go, you want to make sure you've got baby bottles and formula. You want to make sure you've got years stacked on. It's very easy to negotiate a one-year deal. That's not sexy. That's fraught with peril. A one-year deal says, a one-year media deal says to your league the same thing a one-year coaching deal does to a coach. Hot seat is what it says to me. What's interesting is, you know, there was no attempt by the NBL to kind of shake its partnership with Channel 10 and Paramount. Channel 10, you know, there was talk that they may not be a free-to-air television station in the near future. Looking at their numbers, outside of have you been paying attention, and the cheap seats, which get about 1 million viewers or 900K, which is great results, they don't have anything else. They just recently hemorrhaged a whole lot of big properties. The Bachelor, I believe, has come over to Channel 9. The Masked Singer something else on and watch these shows. But, you know, they're big-ish properties and seem to get some viewership. But the thought was they're too expensive to make, and 10 just didn't actually have the money in the kitty to get them done. Now, why that all makes sense is, you know, the NBL is again tying itself to an intrepid network, one that's going down rather than up. This is not good. You want to be ideally with a streamer, but if you're going freeware, you want to be with one of the good ones, 7 and 9. Earlier this year, Paramount got bought out, by Skydance Media, California-based kind of media venture capitalist company. Seemingly, Skydance has little interest in Australia free-to-air TV, which has had a difficult, 18 months. But yet, here's my issue. And the deal, NBL on Channel 10 made sense if you could take advantage, if you could pick the bones of a carcass like a vulture and get a good broadcast window on weekdays in primetime. I mean, I see no reason why the NBL couldn't be on a Tuesday night and just have the NBL game of the round on a Tuesday night in primetime and say, no, you know, right now, if the ball was hit towards Tuesday night at 7:30, that used to be the Bachelor time slot or Masked Singer. None of them are there. Right now, the ball's just going to keep rolling. I'd say, you know, why wouldn't the NBL drive a tough line and say, we, to make sure you've got content on your network, you know, we want one of those big nights. Give us a chance this year. Maybe you don't plead like that. Maybe you say something a bit more charismatic. But to get that, I think that was a logical next step for the NBL and this sort of upkick that it's had. Channel 10 certainly had its fingers bit by the A-League, which has probably proven to be one of the worst and biggest overpays for sporting media content in history, certainly this country, maybe the planet. It was, within a couple of weeks, it was off the main channel and onto, you know, 10 fetus or 10 doormat or 10 pole punch, 10 fucking plywood, whatever one of these minor networks was on Channel 10. So I think it would have been great to have the NBL on a weekday, but lazy or inept negotiations from the NBL. Should have done better. ESPN re-ups its deal 1 year. ESPN, the home of hoops. I like the way they tag that. I think it's very good that NBA follows NBL, or I think it's the other way around. You get that flow on audience. This is a good viewership idea. Problem with ESPN going forward is it's attached to Foxtel. Foxtel numbers are down. It's moving into Dabble, into a streamer. The money that ESPN gets is derivative of people buying that set-top box for whatever it is, $100, $200, $150 a month, and the sports are attached. But the more that sports people fragment off and go onto something like KO, which is owned by News Corp and essentially Foxtel, but the more it fragments off and, you know, NBA League Pass and MLB The Show League Pass or whatever it is, the more that happens, the more the value of Fox and cable goes down, the less money to ESPN, the less money in the kitty for the NBL and everything else on there. So, as I said at the top, a one-year deal communicates to me what it communicates to the NBL, what it communicates to everyone. Nobody's truly happy. Moving on. Andrew Kanyon, if he was here, I was going to ask him what was his excitement or love out of 10 for NBL 25. How excited is he for the season? But he's not here. I won't suppose what he would answer that question, but I would answer that. Mine's about a 6. It's not super high. I can't pretend that we've covered the league for a while now, year after year, and there is an element of just the fatigue of 1 year rolls into the next, and da, da, da. It's like Days of Our Lives, the soap. It's like, when does this end? I need an ending, you know. I need a third act, and I need the Death Star to go down or whatever. I just don't like these rolling things, but that's a personal thing. The question then followed on, the excitement level out of 10 for what will be the 6th/7th year of the podcast, and my answer is probably about a 7 or 8. You know, Kanyon and I, we watching the games can be a drag at times if your busy schedule. Taking notes is a real drag, but every time it hit the red lamp and you record these things, it's actually a lot of fun. And with this pod, we've always encouraged people to make their own pod. Go ahead and do it. But I will say the hardest thing for me is remaining enthusiastic about the product. I said it before, you know, it's like Days of Our Lives. It's like a hamster wheel that never stopped turning. it's also it's getting harder and harder to be critical of players who are essentially just doing their jobs. I know this sounds a bit ephemeral, but you know, the more you kind of address the league, you realize there are the star players who get good money, and then there's a lot of guys just kind of, you know, good money for the hours they put in for sure, but just kind of making it along. And it's hard to be like, that player's not very good, or this team, when you know that there's a real struggle. And then also some of the ways that these clubs are run, and you see how grassroots it really is, and you hear about coaches handing out airplane tickets and washing team jerseys like it's the under 16 teams. It's hard to then kind of build the product up and be critical about it when it's like, oh, this is actually something, this is a delicate flower that needs to be nurtured. That's getting a bit tougher year on year, kind of when you see behind the curtain a little bit. I won't say the other note I've got written here. It's not important. Is the league better, more skillful in NBL 25 than it was in NBL 24? I meant to do a nice little list of who's on their way out, who's on their way in. The one issue I have is there's a lot of Olympians who are no longer in the NBL. I'm just trying to think who of the Olympians is in the NBL. Dellavedova. Cooks didn't make it. I'm just trying to think of that team quickly. Oh, McVay was, but he's gone. I really can't think of any NBL guys coming into this year who were there. And that's always a bad look. You know, the great thing in the 90s was, you know, you'd see those guys at the Olympics and then they played. Or at least the, you know, majority of them or a good number. It's just not going that way anymore. But in answer to the question, is the league better and more skillful than NBL 25? Some of the players that have left have been pretty good. Mitch Creek leaves, but Cooks comes in. Cooks is a better player than Creek. Huck Porty, JLA, Travers all depart. That's all from one team, Melbourne. That's brutal. Yikes. Who else has left? Alex Sarr. Yeah, so I'd say it's pretty much par for par. I'm not going to say better nor worse. I'm going to sit on the fence. Apologies, everyone. Moving on. Now, let's do this. Let's go through every team. Sorry if I seem scattered. It's hard when it's just yourself talking to the microphone and Miss Canyon. Miss him dearly. Let's start at the top alphabetically. Adelaide 36ers. Last season, they were ninth or second last. 12 wins, 16 losses. Here's who's back in the lineup. DJ. Oh, yeah. No, I was thinking that was Daniel Johnson. No. DJ Vasiljevic, Humphreys, Sundadetch, Marshall all come back. Leaving the team, Jacob Wiley, Galloway, not the Kings one, the other one, McCarron and Trey Cowell, their import. In. Now, on paper, the ins look terrific for Adelaide. Jarrell Martin, formerly of the Sydney Kings, playing in Turkey most recently. Kendrick Davis out of the G League. And then Montrose Harrell, who's got NBA credits. And then Lat Mayen, nice player from Cairns Taipans last season. A handy, big guy. You look at that and you go, wow, you know, G League, NBA, big-time credits, but Jarrell Martin's out for 8 weeks. Montrose Harrell is coming off 12 months of inactivity, and Kendrick Davis I've only seen a little bit of, but you know, by all accounts, decent point guard. But I've got here in my notes, never bet on Adelaide, never bet on a Grant Kelly team. You never know what they're capable of. You never know what he's capable of. The firing of Scott Ninnis left a sour taste in my mouth, let alone his and Brett Maher's. Seemingly, bad look. And again, the craziness of their offseason. And I don't like this strategy. This is a very high risk, very high reward strategy. Cheaping out with injured players on the rehab. It's worked for some. More of a long-term goal. This was really the Kings with Cooks when they signed him out of Germany and he was hurt in that first year and they went over the cap and they cut Kwani to do it. That was a good strategy. They had 3 years off of him. But doing it with imports like Jarrell Martin and Montrose Harrell, it's like, what? I don't like the strategy. I never like to bet against health in the NBL. Tough games, short season, short games. I don't like doing it. And then not to mention the ill feeling remaining after benching Dech. I think he was one of that group of sort of the McCarron who got left set aside, but then kind of played. This team is bipolar, played out in sneakers. Is a bottom four team for sure. I dare say this is likely to be the bottom team. If Martin doesn't work out, and Harrell, who apparently isn't even in the country yet, if they're a mistake, and then, you know, Humphreys, foul prone, Vasiljevic, I like. Also, Cal had a really good year for them last year. He was good and gone. Galloway was something on the wing. He's out. I just don't see it for this team at all. So definitely a bottom four, dare say bottom two. And that's also an answer to one of the questions before.
Hi, Joe. If I could just jump in for a second. Adelaide, Adelaide, Adelaide. I once knew a girl named Adelaide, but that was a long time ago when I was still a boy. She broke my heart, that bitch. And unfortunately, I have to agree with you. I think fans of this team, much like a younger me, are destined for heartbreak.
Moving on. Brisbane Bullets, 7th last season, 13-15. They kind of rode Nathan Sobey to that record. But here's who's coming back. I kind of like the stability of this roster when you read who's coming back. Casey Prather, Bannon, Isaac White, Rocco the big kid, Mitch Norton, McDaniel, Harrison. That is 1, 2, 3 and a bit starters and some really good bench pieces like Isaac White, Prather of healthy, debatable. Rocco looked strong, you know, big guy. Harris, you know, these are good players to get back. Out goes Baines. I think that's a net positive. Chris Smith, who I quite liked, but wasn't a huge impactful player. DJ Mitchell departs, which is a bit surprising. Nathan Sobey out rather spectacularly, especially after Justin Schuler's comments. And then Shannon Scott, who I quite liked, is out. In comes Dengadel, something on the wing. Dengadel, hard to predict. In comes James Bateman, an import, and a small forward import, Keandre Cook. Haven't seen much of him, can't comment. What I can comment on is I really like their coach, Justin Schuler. I think he's a good coach. He's very much of the Dean Vickerman mold, the Melbourne United mold. That's been a winning success, winning blueprint. Why not mimic it? The question I was going to pose to Canyon if he was here is the loss of Sobey and what's replaced him a net negative or positive? I was hoping to sort of piggyback off Canyon's answer and answer it myself. I feel like, and I think I mirror a lot of people's thoughts, I think we know what we get with Sobey. And that is to say probably you hover around 50-50, probably a little under, right? So you know that. And I think I don't think you'd be happy with that. So therefore, if you're not happy with that, it's a net positive that you move on. Here's what I like about Brisbane, and the bookies have Brisbane very low. They don't think much of them. I'm not as convinced. I didn't like their roster last year and they outperformed it. I like the consistency year to year from the roster. I like teams in the NBL that are building on something. And they have 7 players of consequence. Impactful players coming back to build on what I consider was like a B-minus season. You know, Bannon comes back a bit stronger. Harrison really came along. Norton showed a lot, I thought. You know, tough players, these guys. And McDaniel was hurt, I think, and kind of didn't play a lot. He gets presumably healthier. I think they're going to push for play-in. I think top four is probably they'd have to get some real breaks of the game to get there. But I actually don't hate this team. I like their coach. And if their imports are any good, you know, they've got everything. You know, they're taking a risk on Dengadel on a wing. They brought in a import point guard. They brought an import wing. Their front line is strong. I don't see where the hole is. So for that reason, I've got them in my top 6.
I haven't got much to add about this team. Whenever I think of Brisbane, I think about that night I spent in that tattoo parlor near Sutherland Street. There I was, little old Andrew Canyon with 2 sailors, 3 bikers and a boy. That's right, 2 sailors, 3 bikers and 1 small boy. Good times. I still bear the scars. Back to you.
Cairns Taipans. Last year they finished 8th. So that's what? 3rd last. 12-16. I didn't like their roster last year. Here's who is coming back though. Wardenburg, Armstrong, Antonio. Out. Ooh. These are tough. Bulkwal, local. Probably their best local, gone. Patrick Miller, I thought was a sort of top five MVP candidate. He did a lot for them. Kind of eclipsed Armstrong, but nonetheless was a strong player. And McCall, he was a big part of this team. And then the relationship seemed to sour between him and Ford. It got kind of weird. Here's who comes in. Pedro Bradshaw, who has G League credits. Rob Edwards, G League credits. Tanner Groves from Germany. They're their imports. Can't really comment on the G League guys. Typically, G League guys come in with a pretty good cred. I'll say this again. We had the question earlier, you know, is this a bottom two team along with New Zealand? I like this team better than New Zealand. Oh, yeah, I do. I do like this team. Only because I like their coach, Adam Ford. His teams play better than the sum of their parts. They did last year. I mean, they had no right winning 12 games last year with Armstrong sucking up minutes when he just wasn't quite ready, wasn't really impactful. 12 games. All they need to do is win, you know, two more. And they've got a passable 50-50 record. However, he's going to be tested this season, as in Adam Ford. I like Armstrong, and I like the fact that they recruited over him last season. They could see he wasn't ready, and now he's getting his turn. And he looked good in the blitz. He looked good in a few little tournaments here and there. And they recruited over the top of him. They made him sit down and take notice, and that's not normally the done thing with Aussie prodigy point guards. Especially white ones. Normally they get the keys and they don't have to... I won't start. I like this team as a top six contender. I don't think they're going to push top four, but I mean, Brisbane, Queensland, I think you've got some teams that are going to be fun to root for. I've got them... Do I have them in the top six? No, but I have them poking around that area. And I'll just say this. Cairns, under Ford, will play defense. Third defensive rating last season with what was, you know, not a hugely defensive roster outside of McCall. And defense wins in the NBL. They're going to play defense. Defense wins in the NBL. I think they're going to win more games than you think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Cairns will be bounced from finals contention in the early part of the season, harder and faster than Adam Ford bounced off the locker room wall when Aaron Baines tossed him like a ragdoll. Remember that?
Illawarra. Last year they finished fourth, 14-14. Amazing springboard into the second half of last season, did well. Here's who's coming back. Dan Greeter, Lachlan Olbrick, Frolling, Hickey, Harvey, Swakala Bullock.
Joe, wow, some breaking news. Illawarra have just announced a name change. The club is changing its name to the Illawarra Hawk 2Rs. After that social media sensation, I'm not so sure. Such a publicity stunt could come back to bite them around finals time.
Out. This is what hurts. Gary Clark departs, which is a real shame. Justin Robinson, yeah, bit trick or treat. Coming into the team, Trey Cowell from the 36ers and Darius Days, who's got G League credits. They're the imports. Now, these are not, should have mentioned this at the top, these ins and outs and backs, these are the ones I think are the impactful rotational players. There's others. No offense to those guys, but you know, I got to take a scythe to this thing. We're trying to keep these under 30 minutes. We're already at 26, so trying to keep this tight. They're the guys who I think are impactful. This is a difficult team to predict, Illawarra, and I know you're probably thinking it at home. You know, Tatum was the flash in the pan change of culture guy after Joe Kamanis last season. Has the new car smell of his coaching worn off? I can't make a comment about that. To forecast that. I could guess and say yes or no, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wait and see what happens. Are we agreed that Kell is an upgrade on Robinson? I think so. Bigger body, more seasoned pro, when healthy, good two-way player. So yes, he's an upgrade, so they get better there, but Darius Days, I think has to be a demotion on Clark. Gary Clark was a real big body pro. He put up points. He rebounded. He really worked well with the roster last year. It's hard to see that switch working out for the better. Darius Days, wish him all the best, but you know, Gary Clark had real NBA credits to his name, was a long-term player. Also, they got a lot out of Hickey last season. Is that streak of form replicatable? I'm not so sure. And to double down on the Clark thinking, Clark was 22nd in PER season-wide last season. That's pretty high for a forward. I don't think the new guy can replace that level of production at the clip that Clark did it. My prediction, not a top four team this season. I just think they're going to have to go to the Harvey well a little bit more, and that's been proven to be a little bit trick or treat. Moving on, Melbourne United.
Joe, hey, if I could just jump in quickly. Melbourne are a good team. I've heard Dean Vickerman wears ladies' underwear while coaching. He told me he finds it liberating. It could be nothing, but it could come back to hurt them come finals.
Finished first last year, 20 wins, 8 losses. Here's who's coming back. Chris Golding, Ian Clark, Dellavedova, Illy, Krebs, Rob Lowe. Departing, listen to this. This is like, here we go. Out, Huck Porty, right hook, bang. Out, JLA, Joe Lualachul, left hook, bang. Out, Luke Travers, uppercut, boom. That is a heck of a 1-2-3 punch. Departing players for Melbourne United. Incoming, Jack White, good player. Kind of replaces Travers. Marcus Lee. Is Marcus Lee a replacement for Joe Lualachul? More of a Huck Porty type. Certainly a little bit more composed than JLA at times. Vickerman loved to fucking ride JLA when he made a mistake on defense. Rode him into the ground. It was sometimes cruel to watch at times. Not unwarranted, but hard to watch. I don't think Marcus Lee makes those mistakes, but not as sexy. You know, JLA did a lot of things for this team, but then again, kind of went missing in the... I don't know. I thought he made some mistakes in the finals, and they just... defensively in particular, and they just destroyed his confidence. I mean, there's no reason why he should have left this team. He had a good thing going here. He'd gone off to China. It hadn't quite worked out. He'd come back, and then he realized, oh, I'm not enjoying my basketball. It looked like that way to me. He just looked like he was getting really ramroded, really blindsided by the put-downs. Not put-downs. That sounds like he was bullied. Just he'd get dragged a lot. My question with this team is, where are the points coming from? Question mark. Exclamation point. How can they be better? How can you lose Huck Porty, JLA, Travers and be better? And the only answer to that question is they signed someone off the late cuts from the NBA, kind of like that Rajon Tucker mold, who I know wasn't a hugely impactful player, but he had, you know, he had a resume. And they could get someone like that. I think they've only got the two imports at the minute, but, you know, they're paying Dellavedova close to $750,000. Golding, a similar number probably. Clark, a good amount of money. Jack White wouldn't be cheap. So you're like, ooh, there's not a heck of a lot of money in the kitty to go out and get, you know, a real stud. Toughy. However, compounding onto that problem, they've still got the same problem this season they had last season. And it's about numbers. 34, 35, 33. Dellavedova, 34 years old. Golding, 35 years old. Ian Clark, 33 years old. It's not a doom whistle. It's not a doomsday whistle. But you get soft tissue injuries and, you know, you miss some time. And while the season's not hugely long, it's not an 82-game season. It's a tough season, and even up when you get up to 28, 30, 35 games, if you're going to the finals, that's not easy. With a roster that old, away games and injuries will be an issue. They're going to drop away games. Spoke to host of the Basketball Fix podcast, Josh Higgins, in the week. We had a quick chat about Melbourne United, and, you know, they dropped away games last season, and that was because of it's hard to get up for those midweek games in Brisbane, you know, for Melbourne United, and it happened. Prediction. I think it's a simple equation. The outs far outweigh the ins at this point. They're a worse team. There's no doubt about it. But they're still a top four contender for me. Top six for sure. Top four. And I've got a little star here with Jack White, question mark. 35% from a three-point line in the G League. That was in 20-plus games and decent amount of minutes. But 57% from the foul line. One must hold. The three-point shooting must hold. and the other must improve. You can't shoot just over 50% from the foul line. You got to improve that. You might remember in the finals, they missed a bunch of free throws. Kind of cost them the chip, amongst other things, amongst the great play from Tasmania. Not taking anything away from that, but, you know, hit those free throws. When you're a plotting team, a defensive team like Melbourne, and teams get, the games they're in, you know, I think there was something like 71 free throws between them and whoever in a blitz game. In a blitz game, there's going to be 50 fouls called. Like, so they're going to go to the line, and they as a team, they've got to hit them, and Jack White's probably going to be taking a lot of them. So he just needs to improve that number. And the three-point shooting needs to hold. The last time he was in the league, I remember in the finals, the playoffs anyway, they lost to Tasmania when Tasmania went on to take on the Kings and lost. And Jack White was just bricking everything in game five. It was a game that was absolutely in the mud. It was a rock fight, and it was, you know, 67-72 was the end score. It was brutal. So hopefully that 3-point shot has improved. Conceivably it has. He's, you know, been over in the G League. Move it on. New Zealand, they finished sixth last year, 13-15. The only player of note I've got coming back is PJC, Parker, Jackson, Cartwright. Listen to these outs. Oy. Anthony Lamb is out. He got hurt late in the year. He was one of the best imports we've had, I dare say, this decade. He was silky. He was fantastic. And they looked like a mess, and they got him. He has big NBA credits. Had some sort of off-court stuff that probably shattered his value and his sort of reputation. But, you know, I can't comment. I can't criticize his on-court performance. He was as good as we've seen. And if he hadn't got hurt, if they'd re-signed him or whatever, he was a star. Moving on, Delaney departs, mutual release. I think his career, I don't know where it goes for him. He had a bad year. He's never quite took that extra jump. Looked like he was going to do it. Now, he'd be a good podcast guest just to ask, you know, where's the career going, and is there an anxiety around that? Liafa moves on, who was a big part of the team. Jessup, who I don't think played, I can't remember. The Justinian Jessup, the import. Mango Mathiang moves on. Abercrombie retires. McDowell White departs. And Cheatham, the import, goes. Here's who's coming in. Dizzy Gillespie. Or although he made Sean Bruce dizzy, and he was Gillespie. He's out of Belgrade. Jonah Bolden comes over from the Kings. McCarron comes over from the 36ers. And a shooting guard from Italy, Matt Mooney, an American. He can shoot it. He can really shoot it. NBA credits and all that sort of stuff. Let's talk about this team. Moody Mayor was washing the team uniforms last season. They were money was an issue behind the scenes, is what I've heard. Mayor left rather unceremoniously. Was looking like he was going to coach a team, got a better offer, and just jumped ship. He can kind of see the writing on the wall. Bad sign. I think this team is toast. Mooney should be a bucket, you know, but I think his style is going to clash with PJC a bit. Also, I looked at the depth chart on NBL.com. There's rumors Mojave King is going to start for this team. I'm out if that's the case. No way. I see too many pedestrians kind of hanging on, like Jonah Bolden, big name. I just saw nothing when he was at the Kings. I just saw probably a good player, conceivably a really nice guy. I just didn't see that impactful, passionate play. Add that onto the fact that plus the team's in trouble financially. You know, Matt Walsh's pickleball investments aren't the money spitter we all thought they were going to be. I thought there was big money in pickleball. Turns out there's Dillall. So I don't like this team. And then also the fact that Abercrombie, who absorbed 30 minutes a game and just angered your team, and I think amongst all the turmoil that was going on, was a mainstay, a champion of the club. I used to sort of put very little stock in these things, but you know, this is a workplace. I think more so in the NBA, the NBL, these teams are a workplace. And if your money's not secure, and if your coach is an ass, and if your owner's erratic, a guy who's just like, hey, be a pro, learn your lines, get our money, go home, sleep it off. That's an Abercrombie guy. Without that, teams in this kind of smaller league, players can just be like, just give me my money. I'm going to work on my own game. I'm going to make decisions that justify my next team or move in league or whatever. Guys can really quickly fracture in the NBL. I thought Abercrombie was a glue guy. He's no longer there. I see this as a bottom four team and maybe in that bottom two, three conversation for sure. Moving on, Perth Wildcats. They finished second last year, 17-11. Pretty good record.
Wow, Perth, my hometown team. They have a new owner in Mark Arena. Nice guy. We cheated our way through high school together. Fun fact, he was my first kiss. I'll never forget the time we strolled down Cottesloe Beach staring at rocks. Good times.
Predictably, Bryce Cotton, Harris, Pinder, Doolittle, Wagstaff, Tee Webster. That's Ty Webster. I left Henshaw and Harris off this list as hugely impactful returning players. Am I wrong about that? They didn't really seem to get a lot of burn. They blur together. I think Harris gets more minutes than Henshaw. Henshaw kind of has talent, but is kind of recruited over the top of. Probably could have looked elsewhere to get more minutes this season, but didn't happen. But yeah, those guys just haven't really pierced through the curtain for me to be in that conversation of huge rotation players for this team. I could be wrong about that. I feel like Harris is a bit more than that. Out. Saar, Webster, Usher. To me, that's a pretty strong out category, as in, Saar, handy, but young. Corey Webster, good scorer, but kind of chased his own. And then Usher was one of the more unintelligent players you'd have to watch. Was talked up as Defensive Player of the Year, had 30 on debut, and then it was just, you never knew what you were going to get on possession. And he'd do some stuff. He was actually good theatre in a bad way. Coming in, Dylan Windler. There's all kind of reports of this guy. I've got a few sort of people on the ground in Perth who say, like, this guy, he's got legit NBA resume, legit NBA credits. Could be some. Elijah Pepper comes in, and then Izan Almanse from the G League or from Spain or Germany or something. Next star. They're re-upping Saar. They've basically got a new Saar, this time speaking a different language, kind of a little bit closer to the Rock of Gibraltar. Here's what I've got to say about this team. Cotton, Windler, who is an upgrade on Usher, obviously. The question is Windler going to help with the rebounding? I worry about this team's front line. You got Pinder, who, can be a bit erratic at times, both a bit a little foul prone as well sometimes. Doolittle can be the same and also a little bit undersized. And then you got Wagstaff. Wagstaff, 38 years old coming to this season. Looked pretty immobile last year, but kind of has for the last half decade. So they're a little weak up front, so you got to beat them in the aggregate. But, is this Windler guy who's a good, solid body at 6'7", 6'6", 6'7", can he help on the backboard? Went and got it in college. Windler, college rebounding numbers are good, around that sort of 8 to 10 mark. I think he's going to have to do that for Perth. The other one is Hyrum Harris. He actually helps you a lot, but you got him on the floor, helps with the defense, helps with the rebounding, a little bit one-dimensional on O. And then the next star is obviously a teenager, and you just, you can play them rounds 1 through 20 or whatever. But then when you start getting towards tight fourth quarters and the finals, you can't go to them with as much confidence. However, prediction, this is a top two team. I think Cotton, Windler, Doolittle. Windler? What did I say? Windler? Cotton, Windler, Windler, Doolittle, plus a year of Ty Webster without his older brother. Chef's kiss. And then Keanu Pinder. I'm in on Perth. I have questions about the backboard. I have slight questions about a bit of depth, but that's Cotton, the import guy. That could be, one of the best 1-2s in the league, if not the best. That's where I have him. When Kenyon's here, we'll see if he concurs. He'll be back. South East Melbourne finished 10th last year. Dead last. 10 wins, 18 losses. Who's coming back of note? Ben Eyre. Here's who's out. Alan Williams, Gary Brown, Mitch Creek, Turungi. I think that's four starters. Williams, Brown, Creek, and Turungi. Four starters. And then Vague, who didn't quite crack the rotation. You know, so that on the face of it, you're like, oh, that's a lot of their starting five. I must admit, the last place starting five. So it's not a, measure that up. Here's who's coming in. They got some decent names coming in. Glover, Walton Jr., Joe Weiskamp out of the G League, Jordan Hunter from the Kings, Nathan Sobey, Vidanovic. I don't see how this team is worse. Alan Williams goes out, Jordan Hunter, I think that's pretty like for like. Maybe even a slight upgrade, depending on your opinion on Alan Williams. Loved a foul, racked up good stats, but I never felt he was a truly game winner in that way. Gary Brown goes out, you bring in Walton Jr., NBL first team, and was sort of pushing MVP candidacy when he was at the Kings. You lose Mitch Creek, that's a loss. But you replace him with Nathan Sobey. We're going to talk about that more. And then you lose Turungi. Joe Weiskamp out of the G League, decent credits. As I said, I don't see how this team is worse. Walton Jr. is a huge upgrade on Brown. And in many ways, Creek and Sobey are like for like. And then the rumor is Weiskamp can shoot the piss out of it. And, the other one is Angus Glover. Angus Glover was tracking as one of the best sixth men before his career was kind of derailed by Mahmoud Abject failure at the Kings and that horror season they had. Not horror, but really underwhelming, really lightweight season they had last season. Glover was tracking as a guy you want off your bench, can play a little guard, a little forward, plays tough, hits shots, can attack the rack. Here's where we hit the brakes. We need a referendum on Nathan Sobey. Here's the skinny. 34 years old, hasn't been on a winning NBL team since 2021, and that was the barely 18-18 Bullets, who even at that time didn't qualify for the playoffs. That's when it was still the top four. So as much as they had a 50-50 record, they didn't make the playoffs. Is that a winning team? I guess it is, but just... it is with a but. Last season, I don't think anyone can deny that we saw some quite selfish play down the stretch from Sobey, which led to shooting splits of 40% from the field, 40%, 4-0 from the field, and 28-28 from the three-point line, plus 2.5 turnovers for every 3 assists, which is not actually, it's a 1-for-1 ratio. It's actually not too bad, but it's not good. It's not good. And that's the guy who, with Walton, is going to close your games out. Ooh, I feel like I can feel Kenyon. I can feel his specter. I can feel his hand touching me. It feels good too. I think if he were here, he'd be saying, nah, Sobey, I've had enough. I'm out. It's over. This is the worst team in the NBL. I like the predictability of Sobey. When he catches it, oh, okay, here we go. May as well just start getting rebounding position. It's irritating, but you can work with that player. I really need someone to bounce off here. I'm very indecisive about this team. Here's what I've got written, though. Prediction. I've said this before in the opposite way. I've said, I like their coach, Ford. I like Shula. I don't like their coach. I don't like South East Melbourne's coach, Mike Kelly. When his career at South East Melbourne is done, he's probably going to have a statue out front of the stadium cast in hickory or oak when his career is done, because he's won so many wooden spoons. I think he won 2 at Cairns and 1 last year. I'm going to read what I've written, and I don't know when I wrote it and why I thought it, but I thought it and wrote it. Sadly, as much as I like Walton Jr., it's a bottom 2-3 team side from me. He is going to be relied upon to generate an incredible amount of offense, and I don't think he can do it without Cooks, and I want to say Jalen Adams. No, who else was there that year? Who was their other import? Jarrell Martin, I think. You know, they are players you can play off. I think it's very different when you're coming down the court and it's Hunter and Sobey. I just don't think, yeah, we're going to get a real look at whether Walton Jr. is a superstar. I think he's a star. He is going to have to be supernova, and I don't know how he's going to be able to do that week to week.
Joe, if I could just add something. Mike Kelly has two first names, Mike and Kelly. He's like the Elton John of basketball. It's why his players call him Rocket Man. Actually, come to think of it, only I call him that. Anyway, this two first names thing, it's probably nothing, but it could come back to hurt them come finals time.
Moving on, we're at 48 minutes. Wow. Sydney, 5th, 13 and 15, a.k.a. Moldovan's men. I think everyone on this team's on his books, thereabouts. That's Daniel Moldovan, Lighthouse Sports. Great agent. I'd work for his agency. I think it'd be good. I could fill out paperwork. Who's coming back? Alex Tui, Kawhi Noi, Jalen Adams, Sean Bruce, Jalen Galloway. Pretty good returns. Jalen Galloway went away to the NBA for a cup of coffee, came back. Here's who's out. Glover, that's a loss. Valentine, Denzel Valentine, import, no loss. DJ Hogue was one of those ones where got hurt. You know, that was a snaky deal a bit, where it was like, oh no, he'll be good to go come October, and he's not even close. So he just cha-ching collected those checks. Jonah Bolden departs. Hunter, handy player, but we're not losing our minds here. Coming in, there's some names here. Bull Kuo, Cam Oliver, Liafa, Lua Pepe, great name, Xavi Cooks. Pepe may have the best body in the NBA. He is just cast from stone. He's massive. Young guy too. This is a top two team. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to say it straight up top. Adams, Kuo, Cooks, Oliver. No matter what you plug in around that, that's a top two team with Perth, I think. Hard to look past it. I have a slight concern over the slack of shooting. Oliver can be streaky. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but he can be streaky. Kuo can be kind of streaky. Tui can be... He had a horrible stretch through last season, but I'm willing to take last season off the table. They had a bad coach, and you know there was discontent all through the team. Kawhi Noi, again, a little bit streaky, so even if you put last season aside, there's a bit of streakiness there. The total lack of depth might be an issue. You know, they've got a lot of college kids plugging in a few things, but there has been an improvement. Liafa they brought over. I think they love Bruce as a club guy, but I feel like his production was very low last year. His splits were bad. And Liafa brings punch. He brings scoring, athleticism, bit of movement. I quite like him as a player. Bit of a blazer, bit of a pull the trigger early and fast, but I don't hate that. Again, when you got rebounders like Oliver and that, when they know, oh, that guy loves to shoot it, get in rebound position, that's not such a bad thing. I don't see how Gorgian doesn't galvanize this team and extract just enough from the bench pieces too. So Adams last year was a bit of either a discontent or B, a malcontent. Big difference between the two. Did he cause more issues than he did? Well, they've decided to bring him back and depart with Glover, who they loved. So I don't know. Cam Oliver can kind of be up and down. I just think Gorgian, you know, he's a very good coach. He comes with huge credits and players respond to that. When you've got a resume, players pay attention. And when you don't and you're a bit of a fraud or a phony, like their last season's coach, you know, they kind of step on you a bit. And Denzel Valentine had a laugh all season, throwing these crazy passes and turning it over and shooting shit. Funny to watch, but you could tell they didn't respect their head coach.
Those are all very fine points about the Sydney Kings, Joe. My one concern is with the ownership. I have heard reports that this team's owners, Paul Smith and Andrew Bogut, both wet the bed. It's probably nothing, but it could come back to hurt them come finals.
P.S. I've got here. Has Gorgian hired Jackamas as an assistant yet? If he's on their bench. I mean, you can't coach like that and get another gig. Surely not. But I think he's going to be there. I think he's going to be there with those see-through shades. Bless them. Get the check. Who gives a fuck? Sorry, language. But I like that team. Moving on. Tasmania finished third, won the championship, 16-12. 16 wins, 12 losses. Here's who's coming back. Drimic, Steindl, Krizlovic, Deng, Doyle, Milton Doyle, McDonald, Magne, Jordan Crawford. Pretty good ins. And I like that for Scroth Roth. I like consistency in the NBL. They've got, you know, Drimic was a big minutes getter. Steindl was hurt, but conceivably could have been. Deng got some good minutes in the finals anyway. Doyle, big minute getter. McDonald, big minute getter. Magne, big minute getter. Jordan Crawford. That's 6-7 guys who were big minute contributors. Krivlovic as well. 6 or 8 guys who were big minute contributors all coming back. These things matter. Ooh, the outs though. Marcus Lee goes to United, but Jack McVeigh, that's a big out. I feel vindicated by Jack McVeigh. Canyon and I were ringing his bell when he was parked on the bench by Connor Henry in Adelaide. We were saying, this guy can shoot it, this guy can do a few things, and got the chance and became an Olympian and now an NBA player. So that's what I like about Jack McVeigh. I tell you this, though. Someone's got to get between him and that Twitter account. It is, you know, we're, I'm happy you made the Olympics. You played some great basketball, but you're making it easy to hate that Twitter account. It's disgusting. It's too much. It's too much. Marcus Aurelius quotes, you know, it's a thumbs down from me. Coming in, Craig Sword of the G League. We'll see, right? Let's look at an assessment. Here's my notes. That small forward power spot loses an Olympian who was and is playing at the height of his powers, and in his place is Ruben Tarangi. Listen to the cast of characters in those forward spots, the 3-4. Drimic, Steindl, Deng, Tarangi. That's who's that. Who at the minute is going to march out for the Jack Jumpers. Perhaps with this import as well. Roth has to find 80 good minutes out of them somehow. I just think that's untenable long term. Now, Sword, Craig Sword, 30-year-old, looks like a solid pro, but he doesn't feel the need of this team like the foot in a glass slipper fit that was inaugural Jack Jumper. Jack McVeigh had been there for 3 years. He could stretch the floor, play a little D, attack the hoop a little bit. Was just had such confidence when he played. I just don't see... That's tough. Oh, pardon me. That's a tough one to come by. However, my prediction, top 14, but not the big-time contender that they were last season. Right? Last year, they were really big, really good. I think Perth have, on the strength of their roster anyway, superseded this team. I feel like Perth's roster is a lot better. I like Roth as a coach a lot more than really. A lot more. Roth really getting thrown out of that blitz game just showed me there's just a lack of, you know, the NBL season's kind of predictable. You want to win your first couple of games. You take a few hits in the middle of the season when you rest a few guys, and then you come on a little bit strong towards the end of the year. I just don't think really has got the long-term focus calibrated to quite where it needs to be, and getting thrown out of that blitz game, it showed a lack of long-term vision sometimes. And I love the spirit. I didn't like the look, and then slagging off the head of the referees, I'm like, you're on the back foot already, you know. Yes, the NBL refs, they're a huge talking point and there's problems and so on and so forth, but that's no solution. That's no answer. And that is my quick little synopsis through all the 10 teams. This episode would have been a lot better with Canyon. There's just no denying that.
Joe, can you shut the F up for a second, please? Oh my God, is this nearly over? People can't seriously still be listening to this shit, can they?
Let's look at what the sports bet bookmakers are saying. They've got Sydney as a $3.30 favourite to win the championship. Then Melbourne and Perth on $6.50. Tasmania $6.50 as well. New Zealand $9. Southeast Melbourne $9. They like Southeast Melbourne, New Zealand as a top four team. I don't see it. Adelaide $9.50. I don't see that either. Illawarra $13. They do not rate Illawarra. Brisbane $26. Cairns $34. So I don't like New Zealand. I drop them down. I don't like Southies Melbourne, drop them down. Drop Adelaide as well. There's three of the teams I don't like in the bottom. Whereas Brisbane I like a bit more. Cairns I like a bit more. And Illawarra I feel like their roster's okay and I like their coach. So that's the way I'd mix that. But even at the top, are Sydney title favourites over Perth? Especially at $3 less. Toughy, but I think... I don't like that lack of depth at Sydney. One key injury, and I don't even know if they got enough to replace one. One good starter goes down. I don't see where the replacement is. They're definitely better than Melbourne. Melbourne are high. Melbourne 650. Like, I like Tasmania better than like Melbourne at the minute, for sure. Yeah, it's fair enough. I think Sydney are probably title favourites. This is the long bet. If you've got money out there and you want to kind of have a throw around, the Bullets are $7 to make the playoffs, which is not a huge rate of return, but, you know, playoffs counts as top six. Can they jump Cairns? Can they jump Adelaide? Can they jump Southeast Melbourne and New Zealand? They do that and they're in. Are they? Yeah. They do that and they're in. They're in the finals. And you've made, if you bet $100, $600. Yeah, 700 plus your original 100 comes back. So, just a thought. I don't like New Zealand and Southeast Melbourne as much as the bookies. Or even really Illawarra. Top Sport and other outlets have not come out with their NBL 25 win totals yet. When they do, I'll probably get Canyon back and we'll do a pod. You might hear my keyboard just searching that Top Sport haven't brought out this shit just now. NBA regular wins. Oh, no. Not out yet. Didn't think so. They usually bring it out really close to the start of the season. So when that happens, we'll reconvene. Hopefully Canyon will be feeling better. But that was fun, if nothing else. You know, and in answer to everyone's questions, well, not everyone's questions, we've had maybe three messages for people wanting the pod again. Yep. We're kind of going back. We're going to do it. Going to do it once every 2 weeks. Probably going to hear some new voices on here. You know, a bit of me and... You'll hear me and Canyon, but maybe sometimes it won't be me. It'll be someone else with Canyon. Maybe it'll be me without Canyon and someone else coming on. So it's going to become much more of a forum for people. And, you know, as we've always done, we encourage people to get into podcasting. This is really a podcast first between two friends and then the NBL second. You know, often Canyon and I joke, like if the NBL fell apart and then closed down tomorrow, went bankrupt, wouldn't really interrupt our lives a lot, nor our Bonhomme fellowship. So, but I'm putting out the call there. If people want to be involved in the pod, if you want to come on and you know, you've got something to say and you've got notes and you're not some turkey, yeah, we'll have you on for sure. Absolutely. If you want to record a segment, do something funny and record it and send it to us and use our feed and have access to our sort of what are supposed to be about 500 subscribers, do it, because, you know, we're going to be only recording once every 2 weeks. So if, you know, if a person wants to be that voice in between those episodes, you're very welcome to, provided you're good and consistent. Absolutely. We'd love that. So, and we'll cut you in on the Patreon money. That reminds me, perfect time to bring it up. Follow us on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. We don't really use YouTube or Instagram or anything like that, but we do have one. But Twitter's best. And then also Patreon. The link is in the description. If you like the show, want to support it, I think it's like $5 a month. So $1 a show or something, $2 a show, something like that. We'd really appreciate it. That'd be really, really handy. Anyway, I will actually throw quickly to AIAC. What did you think of the episode?
Well, that brings to an end this nightmare. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. Please follow us on Twitter and become a patron so we can take your money. I mean, keep providing you with quality NBL entertainment. Soon, all publishing and podcasting will be replaced by AI. Enjoy this last shred of human connection while you can. See you next week.
There you go. There you go. Well, everyone, thanks again. And we'll see you in the coming days and weeks. Enjoy NBL 25.